audio courtesy of Bally Sports Ohio, Danny Cunningham in Vertone. Danny Cunningham, when I asked him the question, I said, what do you want to get into when it comes to the Guardians here in the Open? And he says, is it over? And I says, is it over? Well, is it over?
Feels like it
you
right
feel
now.
Like it, you feel like it's over, huh, Danny?
Don't you feel that way?
I do not feel like it's over. It don't feel good. This is not a good feeling. I'm not in an advantaged position right now, but I don't think it's over.
To me, it feels like we are watching zombie baseball.
Oh,
again.
For the love of God.
That's what it feels
zombie,
like.
What is your definition of zombie baseball?
Remember the 2012 August under Maniacta?
No,
that's
God,
what this feels
no.
like. That's Why, what this feels
who would,
like.
Who would go back and
because
remember that?
Miserable. Because it was miserable.
You
that's
were,
what it was.
You're up by 9 games in the division.
And 10 games over the team that's tied for first now.
It has evaporated. That is true. But I don't think it's zombie baseball.
What it feels like, man.
No, 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 no.
They've lost 8 of 11. They look so far
not
away from
well
being a playoff
Not playing well is different
team.
From zombie baseball. I thought we saw zombie baseball at the end of last year. I didn't think you had to go all the way back to Manny Acta. Who, by the way, I saw on Friday night.
Where?
He is the third base coach for the Seattle Mariners.
That's right.
So you saw Manny Acta out there. That was nice. How do you do? Is it over? 216-474-0092. I say no. I think Danny is overreacting here.
And maybe I
convince me it's over, tough guy.
Maybe,
come on.
Maybe I
no,
am overreacting.
No, 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 no. Don't do the maybes.
No.
You
want to
talk tough, talk tough.
No, like, I'd love to be wrong about this. I would.
We all know you'd love to be wrong.
I don't see how this team's going to bounce back from what they've been over the last month or so. It's really difficult. And we see this, I think, a lot of times in individual games in sports where a team has a big lead, and if the other team can catch up and take the lead, it's over. If they can't quite get over that hump, then you're okay. But now that the Guardians have officially given up that lead in the division to Kansas City, I think Kansas City, or maybe even Minnesota, I have less faith in Minnesota because I don't think they're all that good, truthfully. Mm. But Kansas City right now, pains me to say this, they're the best player in the division. They're the best team in the division. I trust their manager a little bit more because he's been through this before.
Wow.
I do. Okay. I think Kansas City's going to win this division now.
So that doesn't mean it's over.
The Guardians will still make the playoffs as a wild card team because I think they can't squander a
Well, wait a minute. Hold
on.
When you say is it over, when you ask is it over, I figure when you say is it over, are you out of the race altogether? That's what I think you when you're saying that.
My hope of them going on a playoff run, of them winning the American League Central is over. That's what I'm saying. They can finish in a wild card spot because, truthfully, look at the standings there. Boston is, I believe, 6.5 games behind them as the first team out. Seattle is right behind Boston. Those teams don't scare me. Those teams, I don't think, have enough time to make up that kind of gap. The Guardians would have to have just an even worse collapse than what they've already had over the last month or so for that to happen. I don't think that's going to be the case, but I don't have hopes of this team doing anything more than maybe playing in 3 postseason games.
Oh, for the love of God.
I don't.
216-474-0092. Is it over? I do not believe it's over. Danny is moving the goalposts with every sentence
How?
That comes up. When you say, is it over? Am I wrong on thinking that?
Well, I
he
took, is
think
it
I'm wrong.
Over? I took,
yeah.
Is it over as, no more playoffs.
Yeah.
Guardians are
That's how
out.
I took
no.
it. That's how I took it. Yes.
No.
That's,
yes.
That's over.
That's how I took it.
No. Is it over for me is the chances of a postseason run are gone. I have no faith in this team to win in the postseason. I don't have faith in this team to win the division.
You know, some of you guys are so fatalistic when it comes to some of this stuff. We debated back and forth. I don't think that there was a lot of conversation. I understand what the manager had said about the postseason and about being a World Series champion and being able to envision that. I mean, we've gone back and forth. This all goes back to you didn't have much faith in this team to begin with. They are probably coming back to earth a little bit, but they're pressing. Stephen Kwan is back under 300, sad to say. I think he's at 298 or 299 from the last time I checked. So that has been a dramatic fall off here over the last month and a half. That's true. But I think that when you have a team that, yeah, it got out to a big lead and it messed with our emotions a little bit, and now it's probably coming back to earth a little bit, is that you still look at it and go, would the postseason at the beginning of the year, would that have been an accomplishment for this team? At the beginning of the year? Okay, so if it's an accomplishment for the team, if they still make the postseason, then it would be an accomplishment for the team.
To an extent, but the goalposts move. They do. You start
like
to...
Like what you're saying with every sentence?
Are you saying... No. Are you saying when they had the best record in baseball, you didn't expect more from them than you did March 28th?
No, I didn't.
I think that's wrong. I think it's
Hold on. When they had the best record in baseball, I thought that they'd win the division, and I thought they'd go to the... Obviously, they go to the playoffs.
Did you expect them to do that?
As of March 28th...
No.
Hold on. In late July. I got to walk it back here a second. Hold on for a damn second.
Turntables.
On March 28th, I thought that they were going to go 82-80.
Okay, that's fair.
Obviously, the expectations changed. I'm not happy they're in this position. I'm justifiably in a position I'd rather not be in, Macho Man. And I wish that they were better than this, obviously. However, with the team that they have, it's about par for the course. If they were to win the wild card, okay. It's not where we'd want to be, but it's still better than where we thought we were going to be.
Sure.
There you go.
It's better than where we thought we were going to be in March, but... You also have to remember what's happened throughout the season. They had the best record, not in the American League. They had the best record in baseball
at points. Yeah, it sucks that they don't
earlier
anymore.
Earlier this month. And now they're in danger of not winning their own division.
Yeah, that's
true. They
were
a team that I believed could be a World Series contender if they did the correct things at the trade deadline, if they made the proper moves to better themselves. They've not done that, obviously. Now, this feels like a collapse, and I think it's fair to be disappointed that this team...
It is disappointing.
While they absolutely overachieved early on, they have underachieved...
It is disappointing.
...in a greater fashion lately than they overachieved to start the
There's year. No way it's not disappointing. 216-474-0092. Gary in Cleveland, you're first up on the fan. Hello, Gary.
Hey, Ken. How you doing?
I've been better.
Hey, you know what? You expect them to do any better when their 6th, 7th, and 8th, 9th hitters are hitting under 210 on the season?
No.
Juan's hitting 150 since the All-Star game, and now Jose's got an uppercut swing, and everything's going up in the air.
Where's
our minimum wage hitting coach at?
Chris Valleca's catching it again. Here we Boy, we're dusting it off, aren't we? Hey, listen, Gary, I'm not mad at you. I'm not going after you. But it was the story of the beginning of the year about how great this was at the beginning of the season and how aggressive he had them all. And now that aggressive nature, it seems to turn into pressing very quickly here.
Oh, they're really aggressive, but everything's up in the air. Quan, he's lost his swing. His swing was line drive swings. He's hitting the ball up in the air, and now he's Kenny Lofton and can hit home runs.
Yeah,
the whole team is just, like I said, you got a minimum wage hitting coach, because that's what the Dolans afford, and he can't get them out of their funks. There's no way four guys should be starting at under 210.
Gary, who else do they have? Do I bring up Manzardo then? At the mid to bottom of the order, 6, 7, 8, you said? Because Bo Naylor's never been, real quick, Bo Naylor's never been great for average. Lane Thomas, I don't want to say the S word. Lane Thomas has been terrible.
Stinks.
Daniel Schneeman's been a nice enough story, whatever it is. And I think, I do think David Fry's kind of coming just back down to earth at 261. I'll take 261 for David Fry.
I think he's dealing with a bit of an injury, too.
With David Fry?
Yeah.
I would say so, but I think they're all battling with injuries. I mean, we could do this with Josh Naylor. Go ahead, Gary, finish it up.
Yeah, but I'm with Dan. Like, we didn't do anything. They didn't do anything to try to make the team better. They went out and got Lane Thomas, who was hitting, 248 at the time of the trade. He wasn't hitting the ball. There was no reason to go out and get that guy. None whatsoever. They have that down in the minor leagues. So we got rid of a really good pitcher in our farm system for a guy that's hitting 113 right now for us.
Wait a minute. Wait, that was Juan Brito. Because with the Alex and Gary, thank you for the call. The Alex Cobb trade included a 19-year-old, so I thought he had it mixed up there.
The Guardians are hitting 209 as a team since August 3rd.
Yeah, not, guys, none of this is good. But it's just been a bad month. I still have another month of September to get this thing going in the right direction. And they've been pressing, and maybe because of their inexperience, it makes them press even more, even though I think Jose's trying to do it all himself. You got a bunch of guys that are pressing, not doing what they're supposed to do. Again, Josh Naylor's up there taking hell hacks, and we keep saying the same thing for Josh Naylor and David Fry, who are batting 4 and 5, when you're talking about two guys that are banged up here in the lineup. Sal in Cleveland. Hello, Sal.
Hey, good morning.
Is it over?
I think it's over as far as winning the division, but I do say this. I am going to stand up for you because you have been consistent with this all year long.
Okay.
You know, Lima's been looking through rose-colored glasses with this. But I will say this, is that we have not been able to solve the two-hole all year. And I'm tired. I say this all the time. I'm tired. Like, he's batted Lane Thomas 4 times in the last 8 days in the two-hole. I don't understand that. And two is, I'm tired of him, folks, saying every night, we're staying the course, these are professionals. They're not, they're kids. We have a lot of kids on this team. You know, this is their first time doing this. And the other thing is that there's no way in the world Bo Naylor is on this team if he wasn't Josh's brother. The young catcher in AAA, Levadas, I can't say his name properly, he's the catcher of the future. But they will not bring him up because they're so afraid of irritating Josh Naylor. Bo Naylor's going to hit 200.
Well, why would they be afraid? Would you be afraid of irritating Josh Naylor, though, Sal?
No, the guy's he's 2 for 40.
Then why should they be afraid?
Because they're afraid to make big swings and big moves. This team, they like stories. They like taking young kids, bring them through. It's kind of like, let's go back when they had Lindor and Manny. They kept these kids in the minors because they didn't want to pay them option years. The longer they kept them down there, the better it was. I agree with the last caller. They weren't going to swing and make a big deal for a hitter at the deadline. They weren't going to do it. The only reason why they made the Lane Thomas deal was because he is out of options and they don't have to go to arbitration with him next year.
That's
but
true.
He's horrible.
He is.
Bring up Martinez. At least a kid. You could put him. We were betting. Our lineup was the best when Martinez batted second. He protected Kwan and he protected Ramirez. We have nobody in the two hole that can protect either of those guys.
Well, I agree with that too. I think I could go out and win and get a wild card spot with him instead of Lane Thomas. I think they're just going to continue to trot Lane Thomas out there to try to pay off some terrible trade.
And that, you're right. I don't know how long you can go and say and try to prove that was a good deal. He is horrible.
I mean, you and Gary and Danny, it's put me in a very odd predicament here, Sal. And thank you very much for the call. Like, it's not everything's fine, and I'm not Kevin Bacon at the end of Animal House.
No,
none of this is good. This isn't good. And again, Lane Thomas, it upsets me as much as anybody else because again, it's a bad trade. No offense to him. Oh, I guess some offense to him. Who the hell cares? But for Lane Thomas, well, seriously, he's a grown man. It's been a bad trade. You are right about moving guys in and out of the two hole. You're right about that. So he has tried something without trying to upset the apple cart too much because you're not going to move Stephen Kwan out of his role. You're not going to move Jose or Josh Naylor out of his role. The Bo Naylor thing, I just don't buy. I'm not afraid to upset Josh Naylor as much as I like Josh Naylor. I'm not afraid to upset him because you haven't even signed him to some sort of a long-term deal, so that's not going to bother him anymore. So while there is some sense of team leadership, team accountability, there's not that much of a sense of it because he is still up in the air as far as his future is concerned. And yes, I feel like it win its wild card with Angel Martinez instead of Lane Thomas out there, and I feel as frustrated as anybody that I think they're just going to continue to trot Lane Thomas out there because of the trade that they have made. It's very too little. It's still not too late. I don't think that they've lost the division forever. This is not good, and you can hear it in my voice while I am still trying to be optimistic for the future. There's a lot of things that are very disappointing and very frustrating at this moment.
Yes, it's all very frustrating. I think the thing that frustrates me the most, Lane Thomas is part of that, Ken, because to me, it does not feel like the Guardians are doing everything they can to get out of this funk. It feels like they're trying the same thing over and over and over again with Lane Thomas, with Daniel Schneemann, who's come around a little bit as of late. but it doesn't feel like, to me, they are finding or searching as hard for the answers as they should be, as a team that should be desperate right now.
Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Danny Cunningham in for Anthony Lima today. Two-second trivia coming up at 7:45. Your chance to win a family four-pack of combo meals for Mr. Hero. By the way, if they trade Jameis Winston, do we have to take that clip out?
No, it will forever be
okay.
One of the greatest Browns quotes of all time.
More on Jameis Winston coming up at 6:40. 216-474-0092. But first and about last night. Guardians lose to the Royals last night 6-1 after a long rain delay, storm delay. Now tied for the lead in the division with the Kansas City Royals, but the Royals now have the tiebreaker. Stephen Vogt was asked, is his team pressing?
A little bit. I think everybody presses when this time of year comes. Whether you're in the race, out of the race, it's this time of year where people start to press. And for our guys, I don't see it a whole lot. You know, I think I see a bunch of guys who want to be the guy that steps up and helps their team win.
Scott Barlow, also Scott Tirefire, said that the vibes are still good.
I think it's just being here. The vibes are pretty good, usually every day. Building that, you know, team relationship is really important. And then, yeah, just watching each guy battle out in the field and trying to follow that and doing that day in, day out.
Are the vibes good?
His words said they were. The way he said it said it's not. Right? Listen back to that. Listen to how he sounds.
Being here, the vibes are pretty good, usually every day. Building that, you know, team relationship is really important. And then, yeah, just watching each guy battle out in the field and trying to follow that. Doing that day in, day out.
Do you listen to a lot of Scott Barlow, though?
No.
That's maybe how he talks all the time.
But he sounds like he's talking at a funeral. He sounds like he's at a funeral.
Well, he's not. They just lost a baseball game. Right. He's being asked in the clubhouse after a poor outing.
When you're talking about vibes.
Well, their division lead did just die.
Yeah.
It did. Is it over?
No, it's not over. Thank you very much.
And in getting back to what Stephen Vogt said, that they're pressing a little bit and then saying it feels like everybody wants to be the guy that gets them out of this. I do agree with that. I think that is kind of the definition of pressing there. I would say they're pressing more than just a little bit.
They are pressing. They are absolutely pressing. And their pressing has become depressing.
It has been.
Well said by me. We have
good
another
job,
Gary.
Ken,
how many Garys do we have in Cleveland?
I don't know.
We have another Gary in Cleveland. Gary, hello. Gary, you're going on the air. Go ahead, bud.
I agree with you 100% for the effort and the moves that they're not making. I just think that if you take a good look at this whole team, the whole organization, outside of four players, this team really don't have no really good 300 good contact hitters. I don't see it in the organization nowhere. Now, I think that they're a team for the utility players. I think that most of them guys wouldn't start nowhere else, especially that revolving door at shortstop and in the outfield. I just think that they infatuated Rocchio so much, but he shows me nothing. And Thomas, oh, man, this is the Cleveland jinx that when a guy come here, he just don't be nothing. I don't get it. But, I mean, you know, I think that they got to get something to spark this team. Jose and Naylor and Quam and Jimenez, they can't do it all. And the everybody behind that.
Gary, I'm going to give you an explanation. This is not an excuse because I wouldn't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it as a fan. But they're looking at, like, Brian Rocchio as a placeholder until Travis Bazan is able to come up probably next year sometime in the midsummer. And then you move Andrés Giménez over. You put Bazana over at second base. The middle infielder situation that they have, I mean, they got a billion of them for crying out loud. I mean, you have Daniel Schneeman playing there every other day. You have Rocchio over there every other day. How many other guys, too? I mean, Tyler Freeman's in the middle infield sometimes for crying out loud. I mean, you got this whole group of guys. And I don't think you're wrong. I think that, but that reason is I think that there was a malaise. And Gary, I agree with you, especially with what you first said, and thank you for the call. There was a malaise over this team when it started the season during spring training because a lot of people just go, this is, with the exception of three guys, this is a bunch of utility guys.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the lack of moves of, they brought in Austin Hedges as a vibes guy, speaking of the devil. You bring in Austin Hedges as a vibes guy, but that's your signing. There were a lot of people just not taking the Guardians seriously. Now that they've gone out to some big lead and have coughed that lead up, I think a lot of the things that we were thinking back in March, or February for that matter, are starting to creep back up for a lot of Guardians fans out there. And I can't say you're wrong, because when you do look at it, it's almost as if the Emperor is taking off the robe here. Browns made roster cuts yesterday. Juwan Briggs, Siaki Ika, Michael Woods are among the cuts. Jermaine Ifedi is among the cuts, which probably explains a lot why Deshaun Watson wasn't out there on Saturday, because if Jermaine Ifedi is taking the left tackle snaps and then he's cut 48 hours later, well,
makes a little bit of sense.
Does it not? Does that not make sense to you, Owen? I think it does. Kevin Stefanski, though, then went a little bit further and said the roster, it's not set just yet.
You could probably just rewind what I said last year at this time. It's the first 53. It's not the final 53. So I'm sure there's moves to be made down the line here. You know, I don't envy Andrew these days, because this is some tough decisions to make. And he's got a plan, and we'll work through it.
David Bell was kept on the roster. Were you surprised? Were you upset? Some were upset that he was kept on the roster. Your thoughts?
I wasn't upset. I was a little bit surprised. I liked what I saw from Michael Woods in the preseason. I was a little surprised he got cut. I'd like to see him back on the practice squad if that's possible. I like David Bell coming out of Purdue. He obviously has underachieved in the NFL. I know he's dealt with some injuries at times. I was a little surprised he's getting another chance, but he was, what, a third-round draft pick, right? Andrew Berry just cut another third-round draft pick from last year. I think him being drafted in the position that he was, and he has shown something at times in NFL games, but those are probably the things that saved him.
Yeah. Siaki Ika was cut, though. Do we turn it a little bit into a referendum today on Andrew Berry? Do we have to?
We can. I think Andrew Berry's third-round, fourth-round draft history is abysmal.
If you were going to grade Andrew Berry right now, what grade would you give him?
I would give him a B. Because I think he's done a lot of really good things. His biggest move has not worked out, so I can't give him an A. He's not drafted particularly well later in the draft, but he also hasn't had the opportunity, and it's by his own doing, but he's not really had the opportunity to go out and make first-round picks, and I think that would weigh so much more. What would you give him?
I'll tell you about that later.
Wow. What a tease.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Michael Hall, he was placed on the commissioner's exempt list. We can let the legal process play out, but the commissioner is going to be the commissioner, so Michael Hall will continue to get paid. He will not count towards the 53-man roster, but he will not be playing for your Cleveland Browns, at least in the foreseeable future, until this is resolved within the league offices. The timeline on that, I'm not necessarily sure. Others cut around the league. You ready for this one? Kadarius Toney from the Chiefs. Are you excited about that, Owen?
Very excited about that. Tired of seeing the balls dropped.
Desmond Ridder was cut by Arizona.
Yeah, I was a little going with Clayton Tune again as a backup. Watching when he started against the Browns last year, I did not think that guy belonged in the NFL.
With Clayton Tune?
Yeah.
Oh, I just thought he was. I didn't think it was fair. I just thought he was overmatched.
No, I get that, but he was overmatched. Yeah. But he looked like a guy that did not belong in the NFL.
Like we look at guys and we say, like Jeff Driscoll's had. He started for the Browns last year in the final game of the season. There's guys that we take one look at and we just say, well, this guy doesn't belong here, this guy doesn't belong in there. And I know that's not what you're saying, but it's like Clayton Tune, you're going up against a team that has one of the top defenses in the NFL last year. You're playing for a lousy football team. You are a placeholder on a lousy football team, and you're being a placeholder so Kyler Murray could start, I believe, the next week.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're just basically being thrown to the Lions in the Coliseum,
they traded Josh Dobbs the week before.
I believe so,
Minnesota.
Yes. Yeah. So he was put out there basically as a placeholder. Well, you got to start somebody, and I don't think that they thought that they had much of a chance to win that football game whatsoever. They didn't win that football game. They didn't have a chance to win that football game, but they put a guy out there, and he got experience, whatever you want to call that one. But I can't say I've seen enough of Clayton Tune to know that, oh, yeah, he deserves a spot on that roster. I just thought it was surprising that Desmond Ridder was cut by Arizona. Noah Brown. Let go by Houston. A lot of Browns fans starting to look around. Yeah, hell yeah, there's interest. Anything that I can
would
do.
Would you
to
rather
add,
have him than David Bell?
As of right now, yes.
Okay.
As of right now, yes. And I like David Bell a lot. Also, Bailey Zappe was let go of in New England.
He beat the Browns.
Yes, he did.
Didn't he? A couple years back.
Yes, he did.
That game for New England.
Didn't just beat the Browns. Beat the brakes off the Browns.
Yes, that was embarrassing.
That was a bad day.
That was, yeah.
Ooh. Also, by the way, this is a nice little story. You ready for this? Former Cleveland Indians pitcher Rich Hill has been called up by the Red Sox. And if he makes an appearance, he will have appeared in his 20th season in Major League Baseball. He's 44 years old.
Good for him.
Good for Rich Hill. Good for Rich Hill. That's nice. He's played for a dozen teams, including your Cleveland Indians.
Yes.
Well, now Cleveland Guardians, but you understand.
Good for him. That is an incredible career.
There it is. And that is it for About Last Night. Coming up at 7 o'clock, I almost did something I'm really ashamed of last night. And speaking of that thing, the baseball races are going to go down to the wire. So follow all the news on 92.3 The Fan and the free Odyssey app presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile so you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how online at T-Mobile.com/switch. 8 o'clock, we'll go around the AFC North with the great triumvirate from Baltimore, from Cincinnati, and from Pittsburgh. And who do we have this week on the around the AFC North? Well, we have Ken Wyman, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, James Rapine, Locked On Bengals in Cincinnati, and Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. So make sure you set your alarms for 8 o'clock, because it's going to get mean-spirited and nasty.
Always does.
Good. Glad. I don't want Pony to have any quarter. I don't want Brandon Ike to go to Pittsburgh, which I think is still something he's trying to espouse. So either way,
you don't say.
We'll find out coming up here later on today at 8 o'clock. 216-474-0092. Now, let me do this first before we get to whether or not we would make a move here.
Okay.
There's a rumor going around that technically I think I might have put into people's heads back in December. They played that game against the Bears in December last year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they came back. Joe Flacco helped win that football game. Mark Cooper helped win that football game. Everybody went nuts. And we celebrated on Monday. And maybe in the last segment on Monday, it was such a strong thing that Lyman made me bring it back on Tuesday. I says, guys, as great as this is, and it was awesome, enjoy Joe Flacco while you have him. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 6. But goodbye, everybody. Like, it was basically that. Because I knew in that moment, the fans, the Flacco fever, the T-shirts, they were not bringing him back. Right. It was over.
Right.
It was over. And it did leave the way the season ended, where he was so rough to end that season. It kind of left a football out for them a little bit, where it's like, you know, he's a nice old man, but things have changed here, and maybe he was going to turn into a pumpkin. But
you're talking about the playoff game in specific.
Oh, yeah. Right? Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Because, I mean, you can look at the two pick sixes, and the defense was terrible that day. I mean, they were just completely off the mark, and I think part of that was because of the secondary being depleted. I mean, Ronnie Hickman, God bless him, you just can't put him in a one-on-one situation or he's going to get burned. Mm-hmm. But regardless of that, I thought in that Bears game, that's it. That he's not going to be back here next year, because you got people buying this guy's jersey. You know, there was the Hartville flea market signing where they were lined up out the door waiting for like an hour to go get his autograph. And I'm thinking, they are never, ever going to bring him back. You got a $230 million franchise quarterback right there. You have people who were in the stands over during the Green Bay game and the Vikings game wearing Joe Flacco jerseys. Not a chance in hell. And I said that, and I said it multiple times, and people didn't want to believe me, but I told them it was true. And I know that people said that, well, Joe Flacco's open to coming back. Of course, Joe Flacco was open to coming back. They were not open to having him back. It was not going to happen. And Joe Flacco probably knew that personally.
Yeah, it's a difficult thing to bring back a quarterback that has success and bring him back into a lesser role, which is now, Joe Flacco had success. I think the Joe Flacco experience was always going to end the way it did end, because the entire time, Joe Flacco was Joe Flacco. We remember the good moments, but he had a lot of pick sixes. He had a lot of plays that didn't necessarily make sense, even in that Jets game where they won on Thursday night down in the stadium, clinched a playoff berth. It was an awesome moment. He threw pick six in that game. That's who he was week in and week out. He was that same guy.
Regardless, that's whole backstory is to set this up. Yesterday, Mary Kay had said that the Browns are interested in not keeping four quarterbacks on the roster. DTR's position is solid, even though last week I think that what they were open to moving DTR, according to Zach Jackson, and then Mary Kay had reported yesterday that they are open to moving Tyler Huntley and they're open to moving Jameis Winston. And immediately it started to spread like wildfire. I have to tell you right now, Jameis is a good quote. If you're looking at the play throughout the preseason, which you're playing with backups, understandable. He's had some fun years, Jameis has. They are not moving from they would not entertain a trade with Jameis Winston for the same reasons they would have entertained a trade for Joe Flacco, or they would have just let go of Joe Flacco. It is not that same situation.
Correct.
It is not. I can't say it without trying to make Joe Flacco look bad. Joe Flacco was here on a team where you had a guy who was not in the building on the mend. He was recovering from surgery. It was easy to take over that team. They were in the late stages of the season. They're trying to make a playoff push. Things change over time. You have a magic that guy has that, yeah, if the new guy, or if, excuse me, if the starting franchise quarterback were to come back and not play well, it has a tendency to certainly divide the fan base and certainly divide the locker room. I do not believe that Jameis Winston has any of that or is intending on any of that, or the Browns believe he has any of that. I think, honestly, he's had a little bit of a rough preseason, and I think that they are open to, well, let's see what somebody is willing to offer. If they want to make him their starting quarterback and we can get something decent here, maybe we'd be willing to do so. That said, I would not trade him. I would not trade Jameis Winston. But the reasons for trading Jameis Winston are not the same for letting go of Joe Flacco.
No, there would have been people had Joe Flacco re-signed with the Browns this past winter. There would have been people that almost no matter
what. It
would
have been a spicy offseason on this show, I can tell you that.
That almost no matter what Deshaun Watson does, that would be calling for Joe Flacco to replace him because they think Joe Flacco has this magic that they can't replace and that Joe Flacco can summon at any time. And that's just not true. Jameis Winston doesn't have that. I do think their playing styles are somewhat similar. If you just want to look at them as football players, I think Joe Flacco and Jameis Winston have some similarities there in terms of how loose they can be with the football, some of the mind-boggling turnovers that they make, the chances that they will take that sometimes do work out and create awesome plays. I think they have a similar skill set. But I don't think that for as good of a quote as Jameis Winston is, as goofy as he is, as funny as he is, as much as we all love those pregame speech videos that the team puts out every week of him, no one's going to call for him to replace, I shouldn't say nobody, few people are going to call for him to replace Deshaun Watson no matter what happens with Deshaun Watson. And part of that is because while wearing a Browns helmet, while wearing a Browns uniform, he's not done anything of substance. He's not done anything. I don't think he's looked great in the preseason, as you mentioned. I don't think people have a ton of faith in him to begin with.
With all those reasons, would you be willing to trade him? I said no.
I would. Yeah,
you would trade him.
I would be willing to. Now, I'm not giving him away. I'm not doing this for nothing. I think that the backup quarterback market is one that the Browns, one, are in a good position. I do have more faith in DTR than I did last year because he's got NFL experience. I think he's a promising young quarterback, a guy that can stick around in the league for a long time as a backup. Tyler Huntley, I think, has some solid experience as well. With DTR, knowing this offense, having been around last year, helps a lot. And then when you look at what do you think you could get more from? Because I don't think the difference in caliber of quarterback is that drastic from Jameis Winston to Tyler Huntley. I don't think it's that big. What could bring you back more in a trade, Jameis or Tyler Huntley? That answer is probably Jameis because of the experience he has as a starter. So
I think it's without a doubt it would be Jameis.
I would be willing to trade Jameis Winston. Now, I'm not giving him away for a bag of balls, but I'd be willing to do it.
I wouldn't at all.
Why?
I wouldn't at all.
Why?
Because when are you talking about trading him? Because even by the trade deadline, I don't think I'd be willing. No, absolutely not. From what I learned last year about that, no, they'd be a foolish. I'm not trying to call you a fool, but I guess I did. I think that'd be a foolish thing to do. It'd just be a foolish thing. After what we all learned last year, they went into last season with no plan as their backup quarterback, and they somehow lucked their way in. And I mean, so that you got to be lucky. Mm-hmm. They lucked their way into bringing in a guy who, it started with a picture of him looking bewildered in the middle of the night on a plane on a flight to Cleveland and ended with them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen twice. There is not a chance in hell. The hierarchy, with the Cleveland Browns would allow such a thing to happen. I don't believe it, and if it doesn't happen, I'm going to be beside myself. I cannot. No, there is nobody in the league that believes that Deshaun Watson is going to go all 17 games.
Sure.
There's nobody in this room that can look me in a straight eye and say that he's going to go 17 games. I need the very best, and I think that Jameis Winston, if he were to play with the ones, is still a better option than DTR or Tyler Huntley, and I can go and I can win football games with Jameis Winston. And I think that he, because of his work with Sean Payton in the past, where he did have to kind of get centered, I think it would help with him and Ken Dorsey and Kevin Stefanski. His talent shows, his experience shows, if you're trying to make the playoffs this year, you're not going to get all 17 games out of Deshaun Watson. I just don't believe it's going to happen. I got to have the very best that I can have as a backup. There's not a chance in hell I'd trade Jameis Winston. No.
How many games do you need out of Deshaun Watson? Because I think that is the question here. If you want or not want to trade Jameis Winston, that is something you need to answer.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.